Ezra chapter 6. You ever heard the term foodie? Okay. If you haven't heard the term foodie, that's someone who really, really likes food. And they like a variety of food, and they like to explore different things, and they love eating food. And knowing that that's the definition, would anybody say you're a foodie? Anybody a foodie? All right, good. So we have a few of you that are foodies here this morning. You're sort of a foodie? Is that a sort of? Fruity Pebbles. What's that? You are a foodie? My hearing isn't, I'm getting older these days. My hearing's not the best. My wife is a foodie. Now, I love food, but she loves food more so than I do. And she, because she loves food, she knows what's good. And my kids are funny because they know that she knows what tastes good. So, now this is going to take it down a notch because Subway's not necessarily the cream of the crop scenario. But we were at Subway on our way down to South Carolina when we were on our trip. And we stopped at Subway for lunch. And we all got in line. And we have 300 kids, so we were trying to corral them. We have just four. And they were trying to decide what to get. And they were going before Heather was. And they'd say, well, what do you get on your sub? And Heather would say, well, get what you like. You know, do you like that? And they're like, no, I want it the way you get it. Because they know that they've tasted her combinations, and they know that that's good, and they know they can count on that mom knows what's good, so I'm going to get what she's having. They trust her because they've experienced that taste. Did you know that that's pretty much what our trust relationship with the Lord is like? You know, when God says live this way, and someone might say, well, why do you want to live that way? Do you like living that way? Do you like doing that? Does that ever cause you problems? And our thought, if we trust the Lord, our thought isn't whether or not we like it. We think, does God want that for my life? Yes, he does. All right, I want it then. And the reason why we're that way is because we trust, if you're in that space, we trust that the Lord has our best interest in mind. You know the scripture that says all things work together for the good of those who love him. And we know that even if that troubles and difficulties, delayed gratification, or that there's troubles and difficulties in that journey, we know that ultimately where we'll end up is going to be better for us or the best for us. Do you believe that? Okay, and so we say when we read the scriptures and we get commands and we get directions, even if they're puzzling, even if they're difficult, even if they're challenging, even if they're counter to our desires, we say, just like our kids did, what is God having? What does God want? That's what I want. But it's difficult to get in that space, isn't it? And yet, that's exactly what Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, some mistakenly believe that if I like God, he'll give me whatever I want. So if I want a new car, I want a nice house, a certain income, if I want certain people in my life or a certain physical condition, if I love God, he's going to give it to me. Isn't that what it says? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But that's not what that means. What that means is if you desire God, if you desire what he wants, you'll have what you want because he wants to give you intimacy with him and all the different things that come with following him. He wants to give you that. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. And so we need to trust that he has our best interest in mind and he will take care of it. But that's easy. Have you ever felt like me? Yeah, that's nice music, whoever's ringtone is. Have you ever felt like me? Have you ever observed your life and realized that when things are going well, you have no trouble trusting God? You know, I feel like I have a lot of faith. I'm mature in my faith. I'm confident. I trust God. But the moment things start going downhill, it's like, where's God? I don't trust him. I don't know why. He doesn't care about me. You know, I don't know why I'm doing all this stuff. Because our trust is based on our circumstances. Well, then how do we get to a space where we trust God no matter what we're going through. We have to actually delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our hearts. But is that what you want? Is the Lord what you long for? And you might find in your life, have you ever been, anybody ever been frustrated? You've been frustrated in the past week? Anybody ever been frustrated this weekend? Anybody ever been frustrated this morning? Okay. Anybody frustrated right now? Ever been angry before or sad? Disappointed? The only reason you felt those things is because you felt a lack of fulfillment. Something wasn't the way you wanted it to be. And we experience a lack of fulfillment often, don't we? Some of us more than others. Do you ever know, do you know anybody like that, that is always disappointed? Okay. We experience that all the time, and we experience that because we don't have our sights set on what's actually satisfying. What did Jesus say to the woman at the well? I can get you this water, but I'd rather give you what? Living water that you'll drink and never desire, never thirst again. But how do we get to that place? That's difficult. Don't you want to get to a place where you're satisfied? No, up, down, doesn't matter. You can have lots of money, no money. How many would say, you know, you'd give just, it'd be great just for a day to not just have no money? You know, good health, bad health. Good relationships, bad relationships. Good circumstances, bad circumstances. But do you want to be able to be fulfilled no matter which one of those you're in? Would you like that? Would you like to be able to be content, satisfied, fulfilled, no matter what circumstances you're in? I'm telling you, the scripture is true, that if the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, you can be satisfied and fulfilled in this life. But how? How can I have that? I want that. You ready? I'm going to give you the secrets to life this morning. You excited? No, okay. Nobody wants to be satisfied this morning. I hope you know I'm joking with that. I'm sure you do. But we've been looking at the story of Ezra, and we land where they completed the temple, and the people of Israel react to where they are. And what you might miss when you just read the six or so verses that describe the celebration, what you might miss was their reaction is exactly what God's been working towards. This is where God wanted them to be. In fact, the entire storyline of the Old Testament leading up to this point was to work towards creating in the people of Israel this kind of response. The whole storyline of the book of Ezra was leading towards this kind of response. The whole New Testament principle of response, in fact, are urging us to get to this kind of response. In fact, in Ezra, following this, and in Nehemiah, the people stop responding like this, and they get corrected for it because it's revealing to us this is the space God wants us to be in. And sometimes when we realize what God's goals are, we think that the object is to attain the goals. But you want to know something? Really, where God wants you to be this morning is not attaining all the goals, but pursuing them. God wants you to be on a journey of pursuing certain things in your life, but not just pursuing. God wants you to become a certain kind of person. So all your highs that you've been going through and all your lows that you've been going through, just like the people of Israel, they were all meant to make you become a certain kind of person. And if I become that certain kind of person, I'm going to find fulfillment. And I'm telling you, and some of you have tasted it, even if it's been briefly, you've tasted delighting yourself in the Lord. And it didn't matter how much money you had. It didn't matter how healthy you were. It didn't matter what your circumstances were. You felt satisfied. Anybody ever felt those moments like that where you felt satisfied, but maybe it was fleeting? Maybe you didn't stay there because we get caught up in all these other pursuits in life, But God wants to get us to this place where delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, then what was it they did? That's what we want to see. How did they respond? What was God working towards? Ezra chapter 6, beginning at verse 16. It says, "And the people of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the returned exiles, celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy. They offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and as a sin offering for all Israel, male goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel." No, we don't need to go out and find some goats and lambs, and that's going to solve that. There's a symbolic thing here. Verse 18, "And they set the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their divisions for the service of God at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses," verse 19, "On the 14th day of the first month, the returned exiles kept the Passover. For the priests and the Levites had purified themselves together. All of them were clean. So they slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the returned exiles, for their fellow priests and for themselves. It was eaten by the people of Israel who had returned from exile, and also by everyone who had joined them and separated himself from the uncleanness of the peoples of the land to worship the Lord, the God of Israel. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful and had turned the heart of the king of Assyria to them, so that he aided them in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel." Now, if you paid attention, you might have noticed something that seemed out of place there in the details I've told you so far. Remember, how far along have we moved from the first group of people in Ezra to these present people in Ezra? We're over 100 years, remember, removed from that. And it's mentioning that there were exiles still at this moment. Well, did those exiles live over 100 years and they're still there? Why did it mention exiles? Or was Pastor Danny wrong and there wasn't a 100-year distance? Well, if you know the history of it, they weren't all sent back at the same time. They came in waves. In fact, there's still another wave to come after this moment. So there were on and off again waves of exiles coming back. So you had the first wave, but there were additional waves that came at this point. So that's why that is there. But we have a response here, a reaction here. And in the reaction, we're going to see exactly what God wants us to pursue and exactly the kind of person that God wants us to be. And we can find fulfillment if we seek what God wants. So are you willing to trust God to go to him and say, you know, it doesn't matter what I want, what is it that you're having? That's what I want. Are you willing to be in that kind of a posture? Well, first thing he wants us to have, they were offering sacrifices as a sacrifice for what? For sins. There, one of their responses when God, they went through exile, they came back, they went through the complications of building the temple, and then they saw the temple build, and once it was built, one of the first things to do was to sacrifice for their sins. To admit, I'm messed up. And to admit that something's got to change in me. In fact, you will notice, and actually on your handout, just so you will believe me that the whole storyline of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament principles are reflecting these same items. I've given you in your handout the verses for the passage that corresponds to it as well as one verse from the Old Testament and one verse from the New Testament. Not that there was only one, but I wasn't going to load you up with 300 verses to read because I know that whenever I give you references, you look at every one of them when you get home and read them. By the lack of laughing, I'm believing that you do actually do that. That's wonderful. So Old Testament and New Testament verse that's telling us to seek repentance. In fact, I think it's that one that has Deuteronomy 30-something. It is in that verse that God prophesies that one day the people of exile, and when they return from me, and if they do, they will be taken into exile. And when they respond in repentance, then I will turn and I will bring them back. We are at the return right now, and this was what God wanted when they came back. This was what God was after all along, was for them to be a repentant people. You know what's great about that? The fact that God wants us to be a repentant people it means that God doesn't expect us to be perfect. Isn't that an awesome thing? I was just reflecting the other day about Jesus' statement. Someone mentioned it, and it never struck me this way, about Jesus' statement that I did not come for the healthy, but for the sick. And he wasn't talking about physical sickness. He was talking about sin and the lost condition that we were in. And then someone, I don't know if they pointed this out exactly, but something that this person said made me think about this, because they were talking about the way God views us. Think about this for a moment. When God sees our sickness, which is our sin, his response is he wants to set up a hospital for us. We usually, when we think of our sin, we think, you know, I feel guilty, I feel awkward, I feel condemned, I feel judged, and I have the hesitancy to come before him. But when you sin, you need to understand what Jesus sees is, I see someone who's sick, and I want to bring healing to their life. Jesus knows that you're a mess. Did you know that? We might try to hide it or pretend like we're not, but Jesus knows that you're a mess. And he wants you to keep coming and repenting of that sin. But I want you to know something. Repentance, which leads to our second item here, repentance is supposed to be a turning away from your fleshly tendencies towards righteousness, towards doing the right thing. It said in our passage that they were clean and that they did the things that the book told them to do. We're not supposed to just say, Lord, just please forgive me, but help me to not continue to live that way. And some of you aren't satisfied with life. You can't find fulfillment because this is not your pursuit. You're not chasing after, I don't want to have this anger issue anymore. I don't want to have this lust issue anymore. I don't want to fail at pursuing you and seeking your face. I don't want to have those issues anymore. I want to turn from that and delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If this is really what you want and you start pursuing them, you're going to find those things. What is God having? Well, what do you want? It doesn't matter what I want. I want to have what God is having. And you get there if you actually trust that whatever he wants for my life, if he's telling me to repent of my fleshly desires, if he's telling me to live a certain way, is it easy to live righteous? Have you ever read some of the passages of Scripture of the kind of character we're supposed to have and then tried to live it out for a day? And that's not that we can't. It bothers me when sometimes people say, I sin every second. And I think, wow, you really can't go a second without sinning? that's kind of scary. So it's not that we shouldn't grow, but we do struggle and stumble. And if you've ever looked at what true righteousness is, wow, is it hard to be the right kind of person? It's hard to want to be the right kind of person, isn't it? Do you ever just actually say out loud, what I want to do right now is I want to do, and you say what you want to do? Do you ever say that sometimes? Because it's hard to want to do the right things. But the reason why we're not satisfied, the reason why the ups and downs don't make sense, the reason why God has to keep bringing certain ups and downs in our lives is because we aren't learning our lessons of becoming the kind of people we're supposed to be, humble and repentant and pursuing righteousness with all our heart. I'm telling you, if you decide, instead of trying to take care of certain financial things or taking care of your, and it's not that we can't take care of those things, but instead of focusing only on those things, deciding when you get up in the morning, what I want to seek out is repentance and righteousness. Taste and see the Lord is, or taste, I got the wrong verse now. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Then thirdly, it says in our passage there that, and again, you have your Old and New Testament references to it. It mentions them separating, in verse 21, separating themselves from the, and I love that it's, I don't know if it says this in all your translations, but I love that it says that they separated themselves from the uncleanness of the peoples of the lands. It didn't say that they separated themselves from the people specifically, but from the uncleanness of the people. Now, there were times where they created a separation, but I want you to remember this story. They were interacting with the officials. Remember that? They were talking with the officials, so it wasn't like they were completely built up a wall, but they were not going to pick up their uncleanness. And sometimes in our world today, there's some uncleanness in our world, isn't there? Do you ever find yourself, do you ever scroll through certain social media things and uncleanness pops up? Or if you're watching some TV show or movie and uncleanness pops up in front of you? And we have that stuff around us all the time. And it's not that we need to not have contact with people who are sinful. Shouldn't ever be exposed. No one would be encountering you. And it's not that we shouldn't ever be exposed to content that might be presented by a sinful person or might have a bad idea in there. It doesn't mean we don't need to separate at times. But we need to be separate, making sure we're not being affected by the uncleanness of the peoples that are around us. And I wonder sometimes, and we saw this in the... We saw this in the Christian... I'm going to try to elude, and if you figure it out, fine. If you don't, wonderful. We saw this in our Christian community where we got excited about different people in society, and those people were very fleshly. And I would see Christians pick up on the fleshliness because they were excited about some other aspect, and people started being fleshly because they were picking up on that. Or sometimes you watch TV shows and you think it's not, like, my daughter thinks that she's a teenage Disney character. She will walk around and act like a Disney character, and we'll tell her, okay, I think whatever that show is that you're picking it up from, we want to have you not watch that anymore. She'll say, no, that's just me. I'm not imitating anything. And I could watch the show and watch her, and it's like a mirror, okay? And sometimes we're not aware of that, but you need to be paying attention. Am I picking up the character, the attitude, the words, the way of talking, the way of thinking of the things that I'm watching in front of me? And again, it's not that you can't necessarily watch that or be around that person or listen to that, but we need to make sure we're not picking up the uncleanness of the people that are around us. And some of us enjoy the world more than we do the body of Christ or righteousness or pursuing his kingdom or his presence. And don't mistake that for if there's someone in your life that watches TV or utilizes the internet, that does not mean that they're that person. Doesn't mean we can't utilize those things, but some of us like that stuff more. You'll be able to tell, because if you miss your show, you feel one way. If you miss your prayer time, you might not feel the same way. Well, it's all right. I missed my prayer time. I'll make up for it tomorrow. But miss my show? Hey, don't talk to me right now. I'm watching my show. Okay? I'm watching the game. Don't talk to me right now. I'm watching the game. Oh, you want to talk to me now? I was praying, but you know what? I don't have to do that right now. Because we enjoy our stuff and our earthly things more than the word, more than prayer, and then we find ourselves frustrated and not finding fulfillment because we weren't wired to find fulfillment only in the pleasures of this earthly life. We were wired to find fulfillment in pursuing repentance and righteousness and purity. And you might think, man, I was hoping to come this morning and have him tell me something excited to get excited about. Instead, he's telling me to live for repentance and righteousness and purity. Do you want to have the desires of your heart? Then delight yourself in the Lord. Then you'll notice that they began to do all the ceremonial things. Did you notice that? They did the sacrifices. They set the priest up and made sure they were doing their stuff. And they began to do everything the book said to do. They began to do all those different rituals and ceremonies. They did them. And I don't know, because these were people that didn't live. A lot of these people, in fact, all these people didn't grow up in the land of Israel. They never had a temple. They never had a sacrifice system. So I'm sure a number of them didn't understand, why in the world are we doing this? What's the point of this? And I don't even know if this gives me any excitement, but you know what they were saying? They were saying, what does God want to have? Oh, that's what he wants to have? I don't understand it. Does it make sense to me? It doesn't even do anything for me, but if God wants me to have it, that's what I want. But some of us, did you know there used to be a day that people would just come to church just because they were told that's what you're supposed to do? Now we come to church if it's exciting, if it does something for me. And you know, sometimes people leave church and they say that didn't do anything for me. As if that's the reason why we came, is for God to do. Like, it's like God puts on a show for us. God has to do something for us today. You don't need a reason to come other than, does God want that for me? Then I'll come. Does God want me to go to church? Sure. Does God want me to live this way? Absolutely. Then I'll do that. Does God want me to share my faith? Then I'll do that. Does God want me to read this Bible? Why in the world would God want me to read Leviticus? All it says is blood and guts and sacrifice and kill all the animals and sprinkle the blood everywhere and then eat it. I don't understand that. Sorry, Joyce. I had to pick on Leviticus. Or reading numbers and this many thousands of this people and this many thousands of, or reading Chronicles and okay, put this building over here and carve this into it and put this many feet over there or this many cubits over there, and you're thinking, why am I reading this? But if you trust God that if he says this is good for you, then you're going to consume that, you're going to do that, you're going to go in that place, you're going to be this way, because you know ultimately, if this is what God wants for my life, it's going to be good for me. This might be boring. Would anybody care to admit that there are some things that God tells you to do that's boring? Anybody care to admit that? Okay, good. We have some bold souls here, and honest souls here, okay? Sometimes God asks us to do things that are boring, that we don't really see the reason for. Anybody ever have God ask you to do something or know that God asks you to do something and you don't understand at all why in the world you would need to do that? It's just puzzling to you. On here, this is wonderful. See, we need to, that's puzzling to us. Anybody ever have that before? Okay, good. We got confession going on here. This is wonderful. See, we need to confess and repent of our sins and turn to righteousness. But God tells us to trust him even if we don't understand. Even if it doesn't make sense, we don't need to feel something every time we come to church. Do you know that? We don't need to have good feelings or have some great revelation every time we open the Bible. Now, it's wonderful when we have great revelations. If we don't ever have it, then, or don't ever feel the presence of God, then there might be something of concern. But we don't have to have those tingly feelings all the time. And we certainly don't need to have them in order to motivate us to do the things that God calls us to do. Because even if it makes life difficult, even if it consumes time, even if it creates an obstacle, or even if it causes me pain or it brings challenges or difficulty in my life, I know that if God tells me to do it, it must be for my good at some point along the way. Even if that means it won't be till I get to heaven that I experience that good, does God want me to have it? Is that what God wants? That's what I want to have. Do you really believe that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart? You will find fulfillment if you pursue the things of God. Well, then we need to be seeking repentance, righteousness, cleanness, and we need to seek to trust the Lord. Whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to trust that. But you know what? Here's the good news. These last two ones, you're going to like these ones. You ready for this last one? Did you notice it said they celebrated, and they celebrated with joy. And then it says again that they had joy. And there was actually another verse in there that said that God made them joyful, which means that the intent, it wasn't just that they somehow stumbled and God just accidentally gave it to them. It means that the intent of God's heart was to give them pleasure. Did you know that? Did you know that God doesn't want you to be miserable your whole life? Did you know that? God doesn't want you to have everything falling apart all the time in your life. Did you know that? God's not up there thinking, well, if they want to get to heaven, they need to survive me making their life miserable. That's not what God's after. He wants you to have pleasure and enjoyment. And I think it's some people's misunderstanding of God that makes them think that I can't enjoy this. You know, one thing that any of you that are kind of a little too work-focused and task-focused like I am, I will find myself at times sitting down, and did you know football season's coming up, by the way? Did you know that? Both college and NFL. Woohoo, go Buckeyes. I can say that because Donovan's not here. When Donovan's here next, just make sure to let him know that the Wolverines are terrible. But the football season's getting ready to start, and did you know I will sometimes sit down or lay down and read. I like to read the preview magazines to get ready for what's going to happen, and I will lay down and read that magazine. And did you know that I'll sit there sometimes, and Heather will walk in the room, and I'll say, I'm sorry, I'm just going to read this for a few minutes, and I'll get up and start doing something. Because I feel guilty that I'm just doing something for enjoyment. Because as if God doesn't want us to enjoy our life or ever rest. Who gave the Sabbath? Did we design that and create that? Who gave the Sabbath? God gave the Sabbath that we would routinely stop and rest and relax. God wants you to have pleasure. And if you know that, then you need to start, because some of us, the reason why we're struggling in our life is we're not letting ourselves enjoy some things. It's okay. Did you know it's okay for me to read a football magazine? We pay that pastor to do ministry. Why is he laying down and reading football magazines? I don't do that all day long, by the way. But it's okay to have fun. Did you know that? Are you okay with that? It's okay to, now, if you're having fun all the time and you're never doing the work that you're supposed to be doing and tending to different things, by the way, you can also have fun when you're doing those things also. But if you're only doing entertainment stuff and you're never doing those things, that's a problem. But if you're only doing work stuff and task and responsibilities and you're never letting yourself enjoy the pleasures of the gifts that God is giving you, God is wanting to give you gifts. Some of the people in your life are there because they're fun to be around and they're enjoyable and God wants you to enjoy them. Some of the stuff that you have, that anybody have toys? Anybody care to admit you're an adult but you still have toys? Now, I'm not talking about like action figures and dolls. I'm talking about some of you, your cars or your tools or your house or your garden or your whatever or your TV or your phone or your computer. See, now, yes, now you're admitting you have some toys, all right? God has given you those toys, and it's okay to enjoy those things. And sometimes we think we're supposed to be these stoics and these monks that go in hiding and never experience the pleasures of life. God wants you to have enjoyment. He wants you to have that. And if we understand it, we begin to seek the... this on because what this thing does is it starts out green, then it goes to yellow for about 10 seconds, and then the red and dead. So when I turn it on at the start of service and it's green, that doesn't mean speaking of, did you know I enjoy that? So that's what happened. Anyway, where was I? Oh, enjoyment. Speaking of, did you know I enjoy talking to you guys? Did you know that? I have fun up here. Now, sometimes it's not fun, just depending on what's going on, but I have fun talking with you guys. I have fun teasing Cindy. She's fun. If you didn't know that teaser, sometimes she's fun to tease. I have fun eating with you guys. I have fun, and I try to have fun in life because God wants you to have joy. He wants you to enjoy things, but he wants you to also be repentant and to seek righteousness and to seek purity and to trust him. And the last thing that he wants you to have, which you might try to wonder, why is that for me and not for God, did you notice that they stopped and began to worship the Lord? And you might think, well, why is worship for me? Why is me saying praises to God and telling him how great he is? Isn't that for him? How is that for me? And yes, it is for him. But if you've ever fallen in love with somebody, was it only for them that you said, you're so beautiful, you're so wonderful, you're so sweet, I love you, I love being around you? Or you say, when you walked away, did you say, that was such a chore, I only did that for them? Or was it that you were responding, or sometimes you say those things to your kids, you know, you guys are so fun, I'm so glad I had these children or certain friends in your life. It's not for you, or it's not for them only, it's also for you. The reason why you were expressing that praise to them is because they have done things in your life that give you fulfillment and joy, and you're delighting in that. And in your delight of that, you're expressing that praise to them. And worship to God is the same thing. The reason why I can say God is faithful is because he's done a lot of faithful things in my life. The reason why I can say God is all-powerful is because he's demonstrated powerful things in my life. And worship, though it is a focus on him, worship is an intimacy between me and him of this mutually beneficial relationship that I'm serving him, I'm doing the things that he wants, I'm being faithful to him, but in the process of that, he's making me feel good. And he's taking care of different things, and he's doing stuff in my life that I get to enjoy and be a part of, and he's using me in ways that I can say, wow, I did great things. God did it through me, but I did great things because of this intimacy that I have with him. But some of you here find yourself anxious, depressed, angry, bitter, struggling, wondering why you're stuck living this life. I recently had someone, not here, but through one of our outreaches, say, I don't even know why I'm alive. And I understand it, because some of us have been in places like that where it just got so awful that you would just rather die than to keep going through what you're going through. But it's only the person who hasn't learned to delight themselves in the Lord that can't see the bright spot and find the fulfillment and the joy in the midst of that. That's why David learned and understood, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. You have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Because David learned to delight in the Lord. And then it didn't matter what I have or don't have or how healthy my body is or what parts of my body are or are not working. Do you ever feel like that? You wake up and another part's not working? Okay. It doesn't matter how much money's in my bank account. It doesn't matter how many people like me or don't like me. It doesn't matter if people are opposing me or people are with me. It doesn't matter if the weather's great or the weather's lousy. It doesn't matter if society's going nuts or society's wonderful. It doesn't matter, because if I'm delighting myself in the Lord, he will give me the desires of my heart. But what are you after this morning? Are you after his things? Are you after becoming the kind of person the Lord wants you to be? Will you stand up with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? You're here this morning, and you find yourself lacking. Some of you on your drive over here this morning was complaining on your way here. I don't know about what, but you were complaining. And you were complaining because you weren't satisfied with some aspect of your life. Some of you complained to other people, and it's not that we can't express our frustrations and be transparent and honest, but some of us, we're going through things and we don't feel fulfilled. And I wonder if it might be possible that the reason why we don't feel fulfilled is because we want the earthly things and we are not delighting ourselves in the Lord. Does that mean I can't be sad and be delighting in the Lord? No, it doesn't mean that. You know who you are. And you know whether or not you're a repentant person, whether or not you are living or pursuing righteousness. You can start leading us whatever you feel led to do. You know whether or not you're making sure you're not picking up the uncleanness of the world. You know whether or not you're that person. But some of you know deep down in your heart that you have some fleshly actions. And the reason why you have fleshly actions is directly linked to that you're not delighting yourself in the ways of the Lord. I mean, think about it. In that moment, in that exact moment, did you have a heart of worship? Were you delighting yourself in the Lord? Or were you focused on flesh? Some of you, it might not be out here. It might not be actions. Maybe it's the things you're saying. Some of you, it's the attitude that you carry within your heart. You don't tell anybody about it. You don't show it to them with your actions. But inside you have some fleshly attitudes. And you have it because you have not been delighting yourself in the Lord. And if that's you and you'd say, well, you know what? I think I need to repent and turn away from this flesh and turn towards righteousness. And I need help with my attitude. If that's you, would you begin to come and find a place down at this altar and seek him and repent and say, Lord, help me. Help me to overcome these fleshly actions, desires, and attitudes and words. Or maybe you're here this morning and it's not really flesh stuff, but you don't trust that God has it covered for you. You believe on him for salvation, but you don't trust that he's going to take care of that thing. You don't trust him without that thing. You're struggling to trust that the Lord actually does want what's best for you, that he actually does want good things in your life, and you're struggling with that. If that's you, you need him to help increase your faith and help you to trust in him, then come and begin to seek him. He wants to help you with that. Or maybe you're the person who cannot seem to enjoy life. You're just so serious all the time and always focused on work and the task, and you're missing all the gifts that God is dropping right before you, the pleasures that God is giving you, and you need to just sometimes just stop and enjoy life and feel the freedom of that. If that's you, you want to be free to do that, then come and seek the Lord this morning. But lastly, perhaps most importantly, some of you, you're struggling and you're not content with life. Because if you were to be honest and evaluate it, you're not actually close to the Lord. You believe Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God. You believe that. You believe the Bible is true. But you just don't feel close to Him. And maybe you lack a desire. And it's okay to come to the Lord and say, you know what? I don't want to pray. I don't want to worship. I don't desire to talk with you. But Lord, help me. Lord, soften my heart and help me to become intimate with you and close to you. And if that's you, you're lacking that intimacy with him in your life, come and seek him. He wants to draw you close to him. Let's let him make us become what he wants us to be. That's where the fulfillment is. That's where the joy is in delighting ourselves in him and his ways. Let's seek him. So he gave all to give you life. He sacrificed, he died, he sent his Holy Spirit to give you life and life more abundantly. He wants you to find fulfillment, but he knows where you can find it. And you can find fulfillment by delighting yourself in the Lord. Then he will give you the desires of your heart. So Lord, we're asking that you would strengthen us. Help us not to be caught up by the things that we see with our physical eye. When we see lacking, when we see weakness, when we see evil, when we see flesh, when we see struggle, when we see pain and heartache and conflict, help us to see the presence of the Holy Spirit there and the potential of what could happen. And help us to remember that it is so sweet to trust in Jesus. We have such a beautiful Savior. And we're not just delighting in, as we did earlier, a sacrifice that was done 2,000 years ago. We're delighting in the working that he's doing in our lives now. And I ask, Lord, for those that might be here this morning, and actually if your head's bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you would say that, you know, I just need him to break through into this sorrowful heart of mine and let me know the joy of the Lord. I need that breakthrough. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Nobody's looking around to judge you or anything. So Lord, bring that joy. And we're asking for the joy of the Lord. We're not asking for changed circumstances, but we'll take that. We're asking for the joy of the Lord, that you would help us to have the house that's built on the rock, that's not shaken by the storms of this life and the miseries of this life, but is filled with the joy of the Lord, the sure foundation that the Lord brings. Help us to not get distracted by all our fleshly issues, and help us to be consumed with a passionate heart of seeking you and knowing you. Lord, make us repentant. Make us righteous. To long to be. Make us pure, trusting. Make us joyful. Make us to be worshipers of you. We thank you for all that you're doing, and we ask, continue to do that in us, Lord. Help us that even when we walk away from this place and we're not surrounded by people that are in agreement with us, have the same life pursuits as us, may we still feel the working of the Holy Spirit in us and be looking for that. We thank you for what you're doing. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't he good? He's a good Savior. Whether your body's breaking apart, whether you have no money, whether nobody likes you, we have so many things to be joyful about. Amen. So may the Lord help us to rise above and go on this journey. And I want you to know something. Again, reminder of that repentance part of that in there. We're called to be righteous and holy. But when you stumble and fail in that, you didn't fail in the goal, because the goal isn't to be perfect. The goal is to be on the journey. And you can't be on that journey alone. You can't. I'm telling you, you can't. So I'm asking you, show up on Wednesday night, 6:30 in that back room, and join us in that conversation of how can we become more
more faithful in the things that God has called us to pursue, and you'll find support there. There's people to like there. You know, there's some, that Danny guy, he's not that great, but there's other people there to like. So come be a part of that. And next week, we're going to find out exactly how this fulfillment is actually tied to us becoming effective in our mission and our social relationships. So I want to encourage you to come be a part of that. But thank you for being here this morning. Love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. See you Wednesday. Amen. God bless you. Amen.